Somebody ring the bell.
What's next?
Somebody ring the bell.
What's next?
Where is the bell?
The bell? Is there a bell?
Yeah.
What's the next song?
Let's just go right to the...
Which one?
That makes it easy.
Oh.
Yeah, I do the same.
Which song?
Go Lassie, go.
Did you go?
I have to just do it out.
I know that.
Usually does.
Well, good morning, everyone. And thank you so much to our wonderful musicians today. I don't know how many of you were here early enough to listen to all the songs they played. It was delightful. I'm Rachel Long, and I'm Prairie's current president. Prairie aspires to be an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation. And we welcome everyone, no matter what your racial or ethnic background, whatever your religious background, whatever your age, your abilities or your inabilities, whatever your sexual orientation or your family structure, we hope you'll find welcome here. Prairie has a wide variety of services. We are sometimes treated to services led by our own members, sometimes by members of the wider community, and we also have a minister, Ralph Tiksinski, who presents to us about once a month. Today we have a group of Prairie folks who will be presenting to us about Prairie's own history, and even those of us who may have been around a while, I'm sure we'll be hearing about things we didn't know, so I'm really looking forward to it. Our chalice lighting words from our Lanier clans will be read by Al Nettleton.
From the Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society of Madison newsletter, September 1971, page 2. After 5 weeks with the group, and we'll explain a little bit more later about what that 5 weeks was, Clance wrote an open letter to the individuals in Prairie Society dated April 23, 1969. The Prairie Society is a unique group, as any group which includes persons seeking to work out their own faith. You still have a degree of freedom and a desire to be an effective group relating to individual and community needs. If you succeed in creating a group which is as effective and directed as the individuals within this group, then the community of Madison and the Prairie certainly will be fortunate. I still say you need a vision for the present and the future. A vision which can be stated as simply as the following: a refuge for rebels, a haven for heretics, a shelter for skeptics, a fellowship of individuals. People are searching for fellowships of free persons, searching for a society which does not dehumanize us into giving units, tax units, social units, etc. You have all caught a glimpse of this search. You know well what you don't want, simply to create just another institution. Now, if you can move to create what you want, the world, the community of Madison, and you will be well rewarded.
We'll now have a minute of silent meditation. Our first hymn today from the Prairie Songbook is Let Us Sing Together, number 67. And could you please stand?
And is there a third person who knows this well who can help Dolita and Mary in leading one of the groups in the round? Does anybody know it well? Mitch, do you? Okay. So, Dolita, would you help divide the groups up? Can you do that? Can you divide the groups up?
Okay.
Everybody stand. And I think we're going to divide you from A to the center. We're going to sing to each other, not to the wall. And let's just divide, let's say, about the last. Oh my goodness.
Together once, and then let's do it in parts twice. All together.
Well, as a caring community, we now have time to share briefly any joys, sorrows, or concerns, and I think we better start with a couple of joys in the back there that have made us all feel very joyous just looking.
I'll hand it over.
Well, we've got a joy, and our joy is Rua Sky. And she was born last Friday, right smack on my due date, to no great excitement or, you know, mad dashes. We drove the speed limit. It was kind of dull.
Dull is good.
Made it in plenty of time. No concerns.
That's great.
Okay. R-U-A-H and
T-U-F-R-U-A. Yay.
And this is Juniper. This is my very first grandchild, and she was born September 5th in St. Paul, Minnesota, to my middle child here, Nora. And we had her for a couple of days now, and it's so much fun. Well, I'm sorry, this is not a joy, it's a sad story, but we lost another dear friend from our Unitarian Fellowship in Whitewater. Sally McCready was my age, almost. I'm almost 82, she was 82. And she and her husband they were married 60 years, and Don fell in love with Sally at Unitarian Universalist Sunday school. So she was a lovely person, an artist, and a lover of animals and children. And she, there was a family gathering, and she asked Don for a hug and said it wasn't good enough, and he gave her another hug, and then she fell, and that was it.
Boom.
That's the way to go, if you're going to go. But anyway, Don's going to have a hard time, but he's surrounded by family.
A colleague of my husband's was in Mumbai and was killed in the terrorist attack in the hotel.
This is a combination of things. This Friday, we had the privilege of being a part of a family memorial service gathering for Peg Barrett, Peg Stevenson's mother, who had lived at Oakwood for many years and passed away. They had always come here for Thanksgiving so that Grandma could be with them for Thanksgiving, and had dinner, a full dinner, here on Fridays. And so they decided to have the memorial service back here in Madison, even though the only person who still lived here was her ex-husband and his wife. But friends were here, and we had a small gathering, and it was a lovely celebration together of Helen's life. She was a lifetime, or at least since her marriage, she'd been a Unitarian and raised Peg and the kids Unitarian. And the delight was that we got to have their new grandchild. David has a child, those of you who remember David, and her name is Madeline. Pronounced Madeline, we're all told. And so we got to see the new granddaughter was here, and the granddaughter was born just a few weeks before grandmother, great-grandmother passed away. And so sort of the continuation of life, and we had a wonderful gathering together with them.
I'll share it's not a joy or a sorrow, it's a concern. It's actually my mom Phyllis's concern, but she's kind of shy about talking about it. But in 2 days, my father's going to get an aortic valve replaced, which means the whole crack the chest thing. So he'll be up here at UW, and we expect everything to go well. That's what we're being told, but well means some misery for a little while and some debility for a little while, so I'm sure you won't see her around for the next few weeks while she nursemaids at home, but and I'll be up here a couple days hanging out at University Hospital, but you know, We'll take it as it comes. Anyone else? Then I get the joy of presenting a whole collection of folks. Do we have one more song? Oh, sorry. One more song before our presentation. This Little Light of Mine, which is number 15 in the Prairie Songbook. And again, Eileen will accompany us. And please stand. I wouldn't have missed that one. Would our presenters like to come to the fore? One at a time. So who starts today? Ruth.
Can you all hear me? Okay. I was very surprised to discover that I was the oldest member, living member of this society, so the mantle has fallen upon me to talk a bit about the history, the very early history. And that piece, the Little Light of Mine, was a signature song, and I think it reflected something that's very strong in Prairie, the dignity and worth of every individual. The Prairie Society was formed actually back in 1967, and it was very much the brainchild of the First Society. And it was formed really to alleviate the crowding in the Sunday school of the First Society. There were 600 children, and there were kids meeting in neighbors' homes, and people were turned away. And so, this was their brainchild, to start another group on the far west side. And so in 1967, in September, and get these numbers, 30 adults and 78 children came to the Holy Name Seminary, which was where we met for 2 years. And there was a lot of joking, you know, are we going to call ourselves the Holy Name Society or the Far Out Society? That was another one. And as the group came in, an impromptu band of the seminary students played When Those Saints Go Marching In. And during those days, the First Society supported our group financially and with a lot of leadership. In fact, the president and the vice president of the First Society, Roland Parrish and Hermine Davidson, came to provide leadership. Sometimes we had Bruce Bayshore, assistant minister of the First Society, with us, or Tom Savage, and also a number of members. And most of these, I think nearly all of these people were First Society members. Some of them were Friday Nighters. And Friday Nighters was a more casual group which met at the First Society. And when they discovered there's going to be another small group somewhere, they came and joined us. So where did we get our name Prairie? Well, the year before, in 1966, there were 12 members of the First Society who put down the money to buy a piece of property on the far west side. It was off of Raymond Road. I think it sort of overlooks Elver Park now. It was a beautiful site. It was a remnant prairie. There were past flowers there. And the group would go there a couple of times a year. We'd have picnics. And so that name, Prairie, was related to that piece of property that we never built on. But the idea of the First Society people was that we would build a building there and call a minister. So to help us get started, we had a very colorful individual, a minister on loan by Lanier Clance, and Al read some of his words. He called himself a Southern existentialist, whatever that is. And he met with, in our homes, he met with Max Gabler three times. He wrote three letters to the congregation, and he kind of summed us up, and he said, you know, you people must realize that you can't be everything to all people. Let's see, there's another thing that sort of flew out of my mind that he said. But anyway, he was kind of a savvy person, and he suggested that we have a newsletter. Startling idea. And also put an ad in the newspaper. It was another thing. And hire a part-time secretary, which we did. His last service with us, I'll never forget, he was wearing a red kimono. It had a dragon on the back. He was behind a cloud of incense. And he also had some little shot glasses in the back of his car, and he wanted to have us have a little hard liquor together as a closing ceremony, and we toned him down, and we had a little wine instead, as I recall. So we were there about 2 years or so, and in 1968, in the spring, Martin Luther King was assassinated, and that had a powerful effect on our group. We began to feel that we were too far out, and that we should be downtown, perhaps, and that we would extend ourselves to minorities and so on, and appeal to the wider community. So we moved to the YWCA, and were there for a while. Then, in 1970, we hired a part-time minister, Dave Myers, his wife Pat. He was a student minister going to Meadville Theological School in Chicago, and then part-time with us. And his interest was in the theater. And I remember a wonderful play that we put on, and the central character was a, this took place in the Middle Ages, and it was a wandering blind pilgrim. I think it might have been a symbol for prairie at the time. And his wife made costumes for us, and they were based on Peter Bruegel's paintings, these peasant costumes. It was a marvelous production. Let me see if there's anything else here. Oh, yes. We rented, of course, all during this time. We rented at Holy Name, and then we went to the YWCA, and then to Portal Foster building on West Lawn, where we were for many years, and then to Montessori school, and finally, we purchased this building in 1980, and I think it is paid for. Is that right? It is now. I don't know. Well, we have different ideas, I guess, as to when it was purchased, but you probably would know, since my memory is not of the greatest. But anyway, that's where we are. So we'll bring you up to the end of Dave Myers. He was with us for 2 years, and our money ran out. And so then, what to do?
There are enough of these chronologies for everyone, and if you don't have one and want one, raise your hand. Okay. I joined Prairie in 1971. I went to a circle dinner. I was a loyal member of the Friday night group at First Society, but the rest of my family came to Prairie, and at a circle dinner, I was hooked. The people were so, well, relaxed, witty, intelligent, so I joined. At the time I joined, the group was writing its bond of union. And in those days, we had a lot of energy, and there were arguments about just about every word in the whole thing. And we'd have meetings that would last until 11 in the evening on a weekday. But the result is really pretty good. One of the constants of Prairie, hasn't changed over time, is deep and passionate participation and involvement of its members. Anyway, I miss some of Prairie's early wanderings. The chronology refers to them. I was happiest when we were at Portal Foster, but that's because I was 35 years younger then. But I felt like one of Moses' wandering Jews on the Sinai, you know, going looking for the Promised Land, and we finally found the Promised Land on Winona Drive. But if you recall recent history, not everybody thinks this is the Promised Land. So a constant in Prairie is looking for a Promised Land, a Promised Building. Another constant is an interest in and concern for nature. The chronology refers to a program Mary Mullen led in 1983 with frog songs. I think they were recorded. One of the valuable activities at Prairie is the service auction, and most of the time this involves fancy meals and good company at the meals, but anything goes, really. And just a few years ago, John Lewis auctioned off a frog song recital, so we went to a swamp right west of the belt line and heard this wonderful concert. A nature activity that I think has sadly declined is canoe trips. For a while, we would have a canoe trip just about every Memorial Day weekend. That activity declined partly because we had miserable weather a few years in a row. Dolita and I can recall great occasions on these canoe trips, and Dolita can describe one.
It's not the one you're thinking of. Well, I, 30 years ago, discovered this group, more than 30 years ago, and actually, my very first Prairie event, and I thank whoever it was who invited me there, was a service auction in a private home, and people were so wonderful. But we went on a canoe trip, and I didn't know how to canoe, so I'm sure I was sitting in the canoe and somebody else was paddling. We ended up on leaving the canoes on a sandbar, and there are two heads I know that are nodding in here, a sandbar in the Wisconsin River. And we all got out, and arm in arm, I don't know how many of us there were, it was a small group. I was probably maybe just barely the youngest in the group. Most were maybe 8, 10 years older than I am. And going arm in arm, almost I think in waist deep water, in a otherwise a shallow part of the Wisconsin River, singing, marching and singing Pomp and Circumstance. And I thought, these are my kind of people. This is going to be my lifelong church. So that was my introduction to prayer.
Another activity that has declined over time is dancing. One of the reasons we don't like to have fixed pews is that it's possible to take the chairs away and use this room as a dance hall. I still remember a 1976 program that about the Shakers presented by Ruth Calden and Barbara Carson. Do you want to say something about that or about Barbara?
Barbara was a teacher of ballet and a member of our society, and I had gone down with Betsy Roberts to Pleasant Hill, Kentucky, and stayed the weekend there in the Shaker settlement, and I was very intrigued by their theology and by their craftsmanship and so on, and also their music, and came back and talked to Barbara about it, and she organized people in our group to do a Shaker dance. And we also had a group singing some of their songs. It's a lovely service, I thought.
Well, I'm no longer physically able to carry canoes around or dance, but our average age is getting younger. So I think we still have the vitality for activities like that.
In the beginning, there was a mimeograph machine and a typewriter and a file cabinet as the physical assets of Prairie Society. The mimeograph, that's what I say, the mimeograph machine. Yes, it was very cranky. The newsletter that I read from was off of that mimeograph machine. We have evolved in many ways in Prairie Society, technically, aesthetically, intellectually, socially. Prairie is not just a product of the 70s. Prairie is a product of whatever members are currently in Prairie Society. And I'm going to pick out a few things here from the historical archives to talk about, but I'm going to send around two articles that are relevant. One is labeled, "Church doesn't have a minister, won't hire one." And the other is, "Prairie chicken pluckers." Our order of service today refers to plucker. It's pluckers, please, in plural. "Prairie chicken pluckers soothe ruffled feathers." As a do-it-yourself religion, Unitarianism without a creed is reflected very much in Prairie without having a clear vision at different times. And as Lanier Clance pointed out, deciding on that vision is an ongoing process. And as I look through some of the archive materials that I have, I find a few interesting things. The bylaws adopted first on May 25th, 1969, direct from the mimeograph machine, have two things in them. One is that it says Article 2, Bond of Union. It was moved and passed that a bond of union would be inserted into the bylaws in the fall of 1969. The bond of union, Lee Bullen was a member of Prairie and was a printer, and did this with movable type for Prairie. He printed for individuals a number of personal copies on smaller paper that I have one of those, and I consider it to be one of my prized possessions. The bond of union, on the other hand, has a change in it, and we're going to read it at the end of the program today as closing words, and you'll note that there's a reference to social action in it. The original bond of union did not have that reference to social action. That's the one change that has occurred in the bond of union, and it was a very long business meeting of editing and modifying the bond of union. And so subsequently, the bylaws were changed to insert a provision that requires that if you want to change the bond of union, you need to use it in some Sunday programs prior to that time so that people can get their ears and mouths around that bond of union to see whether it's something that we really want to adopt as a change. And so the bylaws started with no bond of union, inserted a bond of union, and then it was revised once to be the version that we now have in our bylaws. Second thing, there's a long section having to do with the minister. And it very clearly has the goal of having a minister in Prairie Society in the bylaws of the original incorporation of Prairie Society. We had a long-range planning committee chair by the name of Steve Friedman, who 5 or 6 years into Prairie's life said, you know, it's interesting, I've been reading the bylaws. It says we're going to have a minister. But we haven't done anything in Prairie associated with having a minister. I move, we strike it and take it out, because if we aren't going to actually commit to those things that we've written down that we're going to do, then we shouldn't bother writing them down. The bylaws got changed, but they got changed in a gradual process. And I have another item from the mimeograph, and this is the report of the Soul Searching Committee. Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society, May 4th, 1972. Task, input, constraints, solutions, recommendations, recommendation for religious education and implementation. But constraints. From an early point in our deliberations, we tried to examine each new alternative in terms of reality, i.e., the financial status of Prairie. It's been an ongoing process. Eileen was on that committee in 1972, and shortly after this was adopted, I was elected president of Prairie, and a change. I was in my 20s when I was elected president of Prairie, and we need to have people who are in their 20s who are president of Prairie again in the future. Part of our problem of Prairie is that we're aging. We had visitors in the building, rented in the building, and the comment was, boy, the pictures on the back wall look like an aging congregation. So we need to get some new pictures to add today, even, to that list on the back. And then the final couple of things that I want to talk about have to do with long-range planning. In the archives, there are several documents, and the first of which is called the Growth Book. How does Prairie grow, and workshops associated with growth in Prairie as a topic going back to the early 1970s as a process. In 1983, skipping ahead 10 years, here's a packet of material starting off with Sid Peterman, a field representative to local services societies for the UUA Central Midwest District, met with the board to discuss the status of Prairie UU Society and our proposed loan from the Veatch Foundation to purchase this building, and a whole packet of long-range planning materials. And September 1983, questionnaire. Question one, why do you attend Sunday morning services? And then the files contain some old directories, and I looked through this 1979-1980 directory, and on any given page, there are at most two names. that are still in Prairie. And most pages are only one name. So Prairie is an organization that has a permanent temporary population with turnover in our history. And then finally, a couple of folders that have to do with the 10th anniversary service. And Arlie Beechler organized a Prairie Pioneers Founders Day picnic. I don't know whether some of you remember that. And on the cover are these words: a refuge for rebels, a haven for heretics, a shelter for skeptics, a fellowship of individuals. Over the logo that Prairie formally adopted at one point as the official logo, the Prairie Smoke, as drawn by Lois Hagstrom. So, Ruth then is going to talk about some of our music traditions.
The music at Prairie always reminds me of back porch religion, you know, with the grandparents and the kids, and kids taking up the guitar and so on. And you new people here coming to Prairie probably notice that we have a variety of pianists, and we have a variety of people playing the prelude and the offertory, and we have a choir. It practices usually every Sunday, but we don't sing every Sunday, and we have a director of that, Barb Park, and we have a pianist, Dolita Shepru, of that. Remember, my late husband, George, his statement was, I could never play my mandolin at the First Society. He thought, because of the professionalism there. And here it's participatory, and people are welcomed. Beginners on instruments are welcome to play. And when we first started, we didn't have the money really to purchase hymnals, but also I think there was a feeling that the hymnal at that time, Celebration of Life, was filled with a lot of staid hymns, and so my husband George Xeroxed lots of folk hymns and folk tunes and created this Prairie songbook, which we had for many, many years before we bought the new hymnals. We did have one professional person musically at Prairie, and that's Elizabeth Alexander, who is a fine composer. She lives in Minneapolis. One of the most interesting groups, I think, in Prairie musically. Just a lot of services for us. And about the same time, and some of those same people were involved in the Prairie Shape Note Singers. And they sang early American hymn tunes. And then in 1972, the Prairie Winds, or the Recorder Group, was established, and we met every week and played for quite a number of services. Then we had an individual, and he comes occasionally, Marty Drapkin, and he claimed that he could not carry a tune. So he organized a group called, would you believe, the Prairie Bad Singers. And they performed at retreats and occasionally. Yeah. And also, he led a group of mostly children during the retreats. It was a kazoo band. You just had to blow. And that was great. I miss that group.
They usually play when the Saints come.
Right. And then we have the Ethnic Connection, which was founded in 1982 or so, of four individuals. And the first name was Ethnic Impurities, because sometime the mandolin would play the bouzouki part, you know. And that's what we meant by the impurities. But the name was kind of misperceived. And so we changed to the Ethnic Connection. And that group is still going today. And that's also a group that plays in the wider community. We have a lot of people like this. I was at the farmer's market and saw Gary Giordi playing with a group called Moldy Jam. They're playing Irish music, and Gary was part of our group here. And then Mary Mullen has Dark of the Moon. Is that the name of the group? Uh-huh. Oh no, I will come to that. And we have Dan Proud with the Cambrian Singers of singing Welsh tunes. And then we had a group called the Martin Buber Trio. That's another tongue-in-cheek group. Martin Buber, as most of you know, was a Jewish theologian and who emphasized that you should always be in I-thou relationships rather than I-it relationships. And so we decided to have three people. I was Rosemary Lester was thou, coming from Germany, and George was it. Yeah. So let me see. We've had a lot of musicale fundraisers, of course, and then some of my finest memories, I think, of Prairie Services are Warren Hagstrom's services on an individual composer. And instead of playing music, you know, CDs or records, Warren would hand out music. Anybody want to play something by Prokofiev, you know? And so during the service, there would be perhaps 10 selections of various Prairies people playing music of that composer. So Prairie is always open to new musicians. So if you're beginning an instrument or you'd like to join the choir, we certainly welcome you. And anyone have anything else, Dolita, to add to that?
Before discussion, though.
Okay.
It's very relevant.
Okay. I happen to choose this morning to read the Prairie, UU World part of it. And all of you should see a letter there written by a woman who was brought up a UU. And she says, every time, so often when I go into a UU church, all I see are older people who came from other churches, and all they do is talk about their transitional stage. And all they do is play folk music. And I thought, of all mornings for me. So anybody who has music of another generation that you would like us to play or you would like to play, let us know.
That it was working. We may have to try again. But before we sing, I'd like to point out that the piano was a gift from First Society to Prairie, which I think is one of the completions of this loop in music. So the garden song.
And anybody who grew up in Prairie, like Nora, knows this song too well, probably.
Thank you.
as I said, Prairie consists of those people that are members at any given time. We have a history, but our history doesn't determine what we do at any given time. But it sets some patterns, and some of those are fairly well ingrained. And I'd like to point out that a few weeks ago, Ralph introduced the music for Coffee, Coffee, Coffee. And at one point, someone had raised their hand in a Prairie program and said, "I don't like that song." And we never sang it again. Little Boxes was music that someone raised their hand and said, "You know, I don't like that because it's putting down low-income housing, standard housing." We didn't sing it much again. So it's amazing what little events can change the nature of Prairie. So what do you have to add?
Where do we start?
I remember the New Orleans fundraising concert. And not only did we raise funds, but we made a Unitarian out of my friend Mary Van Gimmert, who is now very active in Unitarian world in Vashon Island, Washington.
I'm going to point out that we're going to stop this at 5 after, so please be very brief.
It was Rachel Siegfried who objected to Little Boxes. because she was so grateful for her little box. And also, I thank Ethnic Connections for doing the music at my retirement party in 1987 at Tower Hill State Park.
Question, statement. I joined Prairie in 1969, so I'm probably one of the oldest ones left now, because all of my contemporaries from that time seem to have gone to the other lands. Is there anybody here who joined?
I was there in 69.
So joined about the same time. And the other thing is, I'd like to point out, Prairie was a child of the 60s and early 70s. We were a wild and woolly Prairie bunch. And while we are more state and politically oriented, we were a little immoral in times, but it was great fun in those early years.
I'd like to mention three things, if I can remember them now. two particular programs that I enjoyed were Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Oh, yeah.
In which we had a processional and they carried in on a cushion a helmet. And one where,
was it Fran? His name. Fran who came in on a motorcycle?
Oh, no, I think it was the Bonzers. What was it? I don't remember who it was.
George's Motorcycle.
Yeah. Where Roland Parrish was St. Francis of Assisi and led the children in a wandering trip outside. We were all children that day. And the third thing, what was the third thing? Oh, I can't remember. But it's been a great adventure.
As a child growing up in this church, I often made the mistake of telling people at school what we did, not realizing that any of that was, you know, not normal. And I just assumed that everybody pushed the chairs to the side and, you know, broke out an accordion and did dances. So I learned many lessons and learned to shut up and not tell people.
I was in the kazoo band. That much I remember, but growing up in this congregation, I definitely was I appreciated all the retreats that we've done. We've had some especially interesting things go on. So it's been great.
A couple of things. Rosemary, I wouldn't say immoral so much as irreverent. there's a certain subtle difference there. We were also a very academic congregation at that time, and in my earliest years in Prairie, we had quite a lot of professors, full professors from several departments, and that gave us quite a broad span of people who were extremely expertise in a lot of areas, and it gave us terrific programs. And I wanted to give you one thing from the kids. I remember my sons coming home, speaking of professors, this one happened to be John Magnuson of Limnology Lab. I'm sure he's emeritus by now. But my son came home and said, "We traced the sewer system of Madison today in our church school class."
For a few years, we had a small band of young people and older people that played. Then I guess the kids got older and we got too busy, and so that died out again.
Warren alluded, talked a little bit about nature, but for me, one of the things that's been most important to me in being a part of all that I have learned of in terms of our congregation over the years. And we had some nationally foremost scholars in environmental science who were part of our beginning years and then moved on to other universities. And the UUA, for instance, had the Green Congregation. That whole movement was started by Ori Laus through his church in Miami, Ohio. And Ori was a professor here and was very influential in our group. And the things that we learned from those folks in the 70s were, I mean, they were really at the forefront. These were people who had done the natural fight against DDT. They were in our group. And so it was really amazing to be part of knowing those people. And they took us on field trips every Sunday afternoon, and we learned so much from those early pioneering colleges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to put in a plug for the non-judgmental nature of the musicianship around here, because because starting from everything from the Prairie Band singers, the kazoo band, all the people performing at the talent shows at the retreats, for whatever level of talent you have, and everything is greeted warmly and enthusiastically, and it doesn't matter what you do, people are happy that you've worked up the nerve to get up and do it. To things like we've had karaoke parties in the past, and choir, and people who have it's a lot easier for me to stand up and be in the choir than to try to play the piano. You'll never get me to play the piano in front of anybody, but just that the participatory nature of this group, and we have so much musical talent for a small group. People who come in from other groups say, how can you have a choir this big in such a such a small congregation? Please, we need more tenors. So.
I have it on good authority that you play a mean beer bottle, though, too.
Well, Dave and I started driving 75 miles south to be with this group. So sometime back in the 80s, we began doing that. And from Coloma. Someone really doing and said to me one time, I hope we're worth it. and let me just tell you, you really were.
So we're running out of time. We have run out of time.
Grab Andy first.
Andy gets a chance. Okay.
It's the last one.
I just want to mention something, an event that's recent that I was not at. I was at another event, but the recent pretty good first annual pretty good pancake breakfast, I think is a piece of prairie history to be noted. And I think the committee did a great job and really reached out to the neighborhood. And I think by all accounts, it seems to have been a grand success. So let's look forward with that history for maybe another one in the future.
Andy, you produced the perfect segue to what I wanted to finish this up on, and that is every tradition that we have started somewhere. There was a first time for it. And no, it's not me, it's just doing its own thing over there. And so don't be afraid to bring new traditions into Prairie.